this morning's verse is focusing primarily on several features, but specifically in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about vanaprastha, or retired life. Many in this room are not ready for retired life, they're just beginning. But Prabhupada is emphasizing here, from this verse of Ajamil's life, of how he realized that he had to immediately move and retire from worldly affairs. Other principles which are being spoken of in this text is how Ajamil not only took vanaprastha, but with determination. So in the purport, Prabhupada is emphasizing how with determination we can succeed very, very simply by this process of Krishna consciousness. These principles of detachment and determination are there throughout various scriptures. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was in one sense a Mayavadi, and he hadn't come to the conclusion of bhakti yet, which is a similar analogy of Ajamil in one sense. When finally he saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the same Krishna that's mentioned in the scriptures, immediately he composed 100 verses. And one of those verses speaks on these principles of detachment and determination. And there are 100 verses. I've seen, I think Srinivas seems to read those verses quite a lot. He's got that book. And one of those verses is speaking on this principle. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Sikshartam Eka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharire Dari Kripambudi Yastam Aham Prapadye. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he saw Mahaprabhu and immediately he said, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharire Dari. And he saw this form of Sadbhuj, as we can see in that painting. Six-armed, two arms which are Lord Ram, two arms which is Lord Krishna, and two arms which are renouncing, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he saw this form, immediately he said, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharirdhari, that same Krishna, he has come Sharirdhari, in this form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what has he come to teach? He has come to teach two things. Vairagya, detachment from all the things that do not promote our devotional life. All those things that don't promote it. That's the first thing. So here, in this scenario, Ajamil, similarly, is leaving for Haridwar. Because he's realized that all the things that are not fostering his bhakti will be obtained by leaving his place of residence. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya goes on to say, Vairagya Vidya. And Mahaprabhu has come to teach real knowledge of how to practice devotional service. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. The knowledge that he's come to teach is how we can practice spiritual life. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Sikshartham Eka Purusha Purana. These are the teachings of Mahaprabhu, these two principles, Vairagya and Vidya. Knowledge of how to practice devotional life and detachment from all those things that don't promote our devotional life. That's a summary of Mahaprabhu's teaching, and that's what's happening here to Ajamil. Even these principles are there in the Bhagavatam when we read the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj. These two principles of how Dhruva left, ultimately he left the palace to renounce, to retire, very early age of course, but the same principle was there. The word Dhruva means detachment. One of the meanings, Sanskrit meanings of Dhruva is detachment. And you can only become detached if you have Suniti. Dhruva's mother was Suniti. And the word Suniti means proper guidance. Proper guidance. So here, Ajamil is renouncing, trying to become detached. But it's not possible unless there is proper instructions. And here, it's mentioned that by a moment's association, by sadhu sangha, he became detached by the association of sadhus or the yamadutas. The principle of ashram chaturvanyam maya shistam guna karma vibhagasya, that there are four varnas and four ashram, four social orders, and we find that the brahmachari ashram is the brahmachari ashram. It's quite where it's meant to be. People know they're brahmacharis. The grihastha ashram is the grihastha ashram. But as Jayadvaita Swami gives his tours and he gives his lectures, this is the topic he picks upon, that the vanaprastha ashram is not happening in ISKCON. People are not retiring. People are not retiring. Sannyas ashram is happening. Grihasthas are happening. The brahmacharis are happening. But the vanaprasthas are not happening. Slowly I think it's happening. But he emphasizes that we are not becoming detached as we move on. And Prabhupada very much here in this purport is trying to emphasize residing in a holy place. Specifically here, he's speaking about Mayapur and Vrindavan. And of course, Jagannath Puri is the same. But Prabhupada, of course, he did say that all my temples, they are Vrindavan. All my temples, they are Vrindavan. So if you're retiring, but it's not always easy to retire in a local temple. You probably need to have a change of scenery. So why is this Vanaprastha ashram not so easy? In the Puranas, there is a story when Lord Vishnu said to Narada Muni, why don't you bring one person here from the material world to Vaikuntha? Because Vaikuntha means a place of no anxiety. So you should be able to bring anyone here. I give you the benediction, go to the material world, find someone and bring them here. Narada Muni said, that shouldn't be difficult. It's a simple affair. Anyone will want to leave the material world and come here. So Narada Muni, he arrived on the scene. And Lord Narayan had pointed him in the direction, just go to this family and see. So Narada Muni arrived. There was a young student. And he spoke to the student, as there are many students in this class today. Imagine if Narada Muni arrived here and said, we are going to Vaikuntha. We are going to Vaikuntha. If he grabbed anyone here and said, let's go, would we go? So this pastime was the student said, well, Narada Muni, I'd like to come to Vaikuntha, but I'm just a student and I need to finish my education. They didn't have the sabbatical program at that time. So he said, I've got to finish my education. And when I finish my education, then I'll come. And of course, after that, as you know, I want to get married. So once I'm married, I'll come. So Narada Muni thought, okay. So he went back to Lord Vishnu and said, well, he said he's coming, but just not now. There's a famous saying in India, just now coming, which means it's not going to come. You know, when you order something in India, you go to Lloyd's Bazaar or you go anywhere and you say, I'm ordering this. They say, just now coming. We have it in stock. There's nothing in stock. So it was a little bit like that. This boy said, just now coming. So Lord Vishnu said, I see, I told you, no one will come. He said, no, no, I'm going back. After he's married, he said he'll come. So Narada Muni arrived again and said, okay, you're married now, you finished your studies, now let's go to Vaikuntha. He said, I'm married now, and you know, I have family responsibilities. There are children. How can I come? I can't leave. So Narada Muni said, okay, he said, once the children have grown up, that's when I'll come to Vaikuntha. So Narada Muni went back to Lord Vishnu and he said, so what's the story? He said, just now coming. Just now coming. So of course, he got married, the children were there, the children were grown up, so he arrived. Narada Muni said, right, they've grown up, the children, are you ready? And he said, well, Narada Muni, you see, it's all about duty and I've got to get my children married. So once they're married, I'll come with you. So Narada Muni said, okay, not to worry you, but you're coming. He said, yeah, I'm coming, definitely coming. So Narada Muni went away. The children got married. They were married. So Narada Muni was looking. Everyone's married. They settled. So he arrived. And he said, now are you ready? He was an older man now. And he said, now are you willing to come? And he said, well, you know, the children are married. That's all well, but now you see what's happened is that there are grandchildren in the family. And I can't come. I can't come to Vaikuntha because I've got to look after all of them. It's impossible. So Narada Muni thought, my God, when will this end? He said, well, once the grandchildren are older, and that's, you know, that's, I'll come at that stage. So in an hour, this man was getting into his 70s, obviously. And Narada Muni appeared at that late age. The grandchildren had grown up, the children had grown up. And this man was thinking, in this whole universe, he was frightened now because he knew Narada Muni would come again. He thought, Narada Muni can't find anyone but me. Can't there be anyone else that wants to go to Vaikuntha? So anyway, Narada Muni arrived when he was 70, and this man was at the top of the stairs in his palace, and upon seeing him, Narada Muni said, now are you ready? And he said, no, 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 and he fell over along the stairs and he died. So Lord Vishnu said, so I told you, no one wants to come to Vaikuntha. And this man who was meant to take vanaprastha and retire, even he said, no, I can't do it. So Lord Vishnu said, anyway, you still have an opportunity. The man who's died, he's now become a dog in that house. So you go and tell him to come to Vaikuntha. He's living a dog's life. So Narada Muni arrived and he started speaking to the dog. And he opened his flappy ears and said, it's me again. Do you want to come to Vaikuntha? He said, not just yet. He said, these sons of mine, they leave this house unguarded. And you know, I've worked so hard to collect all the money and it's all in this house. Someone will steal it. So I just want to be here to guard all my wealth. I don't want to leave right now. So Narada Muni thought, oh my God. So Lord Vishnu said, see, I told you. So anyway, the dog died eventually. And then that living entity, he became a snake. And he still took birth in that same house. But in the treasury of the house, he was a naga. in the treasury, guarding the wealth. So Narada Muni came again and said to the snake, it's me again, remember? You were a student and blah. And do you want to come to Vaikuntha? And the snake said, no, not yet. I have to guard this wealth in case some thieves break in. I'm right in the treasury room. So Narada Muni didn't know what to do. So finally, anyway, the story of Vanaprastha is successful because Narada Muni has an idea. He goes to the sons and he says, there is a snake in your house. And he may attack any of the grandchildren or the children. So the family, the sons immediately went with sticks and they killed the snake. And upon killing the snakes, the jiva, the living entity, realized that all my life I was working simply for everyone here, but eventually they've killed me. So finally at that stage, he decided, yes, I'll come to Vaikuntha. Finally. So in the Puranas, this pastime is given. Just to speak on this principle that Vanaprastha, not an easy thing. Because that was in the Puranic days. What to speak of today. So Prabhupada in this purport is trying to encourage that we should retire. And specifically, he is requesting that we go to Mayapur in Vrindavan. Another interesting point here is that Ajamil had become very determined. And in the Bhagavad Gita, this principle is given of one-pointed determination. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was speaking on the subject matter, he quoted his life, specifically in Gita 2:41, Vyavyasatmika buddhir ekiha kurunandana bahushakahi anantascha buddhayo vyavyasayinam. Where Krishna is saying, those that are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those that are irresolute is many-branched. So Vyavyasatmika Buddhi refers to one-pointed intelligence. And Prabhupada spoke to his disciples once and he said that in the 1950s, he read this verse when he had retired in Vrindavan, or before he was about to retire, because he retired in 52, I think. And he got great inspiration from this verse because he read the purport that was given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to this verse. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nandaki Sitaram Lakshman Hanumaniki. And Prabhupada says how he was struck by the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur from this verse of how to become fixed in the order of the spiritual master. So I thought we'd read that, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport to this verse, which inspired Prabhupada to take up the mission and also to take the Vanaprastha. Of all kinds of intelligence, the best is intelligence focused on bhakti yoga. In bhakti yoga, one's intelligence becomes single-pointed or fixed in determination. One thinks, the instructions of my spiritual master to worship the personality of Godhead by chanting, remembering, serving his lotus feet, and so on, are my only sadhana and my only sadhya, my only livelihood. I am incapable of giving up these instructions either in the stage of practice or in the stage of perfection. They alone are my object of desire and my only responsibility. Besides them, I can desire no other responsibility, not even in my dreams. It is all the same to me whether I am happy or unhappy, or whether my material existence is eradicated or not. So Prabhupada, when he spoke to his disciples, he said this, reinforced what he had heard in 1922 at Altadanga Road in Calcutta for the first time when Narendranath Malik took him. And Bhaktisiddhanta's first words pierced him when he said, you are intelligent young men. Why don't you take this message of Mahaprabhu and give it to the English-speaking world? These were the first words that Bhaktisiddhanta spoke, and these words always remained. And when he read this purport, it re-emphasized for him. And of course, again, in 1932, when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan at Radha Kund, Bhaktisiddhanta once again spoke to him about, if you ever get money, print books. So in the 50s, when Prabhupada was thinking of moving in that direction and taking Vanaprastha, this is the purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to this verse of the Gita that inspired him, that I should move in this direction. Prabhupada very much, in the verses in the purport, has given the principle that it is simply, the process is simply about chanting and taking prasadam. Chanting and taking prasadam. Two simple principles. Eating prasadam is a luxury. It's something that we all look forward to, and chanting. In India, there was a brahmachari who lived in the building in Hyderabad. And he said to Prabhupada, I simply want to chant and just eat prasadam and not do any service. So, of course, Prabhupada, at that time, he said, yes, if he simply wants to chant all day and then take prasadam, then we can allow him to stay. Because the principle was, of course, you have to do some service. But he said, no, I don't want to do any service. Simply chanting and eating prasadam, that is sufficient. So Prabhupada is saying in this purport, the chanting, if you can chant all day and take prasadam. So he allowed this brahmachari to do that. But here the manner, of course, he mentions that this is not a hotel or a brothel even, he said. That you can't just sleep and eat here. You also have to serve. So different instructions were given. In the purport that we read today, the potency of the holy name again is being mentioned. And there are eight effects that are there when one chants the holy name of the Lord. And one of them is called Bhakti Udoy. And specifically in today's verse, how Ajamil became awakened to his devotion is one of the effects of chanting the holy name, Bhakti Udoy. All other processes of atonement, they nullify sins. But only chanting awakens bhakti as well as nullifying whatever sins we've committed. In the Vedas, there's the principle that if you commit a little sin, then there is a little atonement. If you commit big sins, then there are big atonements. But only in this verse, of the eight effects of chanting the holy name, Bhakti Udoy is given, that simply by chanting, millions of lives of sinful activity is removed, but apart from that, awakening of devotion to Krishna. The process of atonement is something that you'll find is limited and it is never sufficient. The story is there of a merchant who was selling unadulterated ghee. In India, you know how whenever you buy medicines, generally they're not medicines, they're chalk. Even the milk people buy is white powder. So you know, it's very bad, of course, because people who need the medicine are taking the wrong thing. People who need to drink milk are drinking just chalk. So similarly, there was a merchant who was selling ghee, but it was not pure. He had mixed it with so many other things. So when the king caught him, he said to him, okay, punishment is as follows. 10,000 gold coins. Said, 50 whiplashes. And he thought, oh. And then finally the king said, 10 kgs of pure ghee you have to drink. So he thought about it and he said, well, I think all three are good, but I like the idea of drinking 10 kgs of ghee. And then he said, look, they're meant to punish me, but they're giving me ghee to drink, pure ghee. So he said, okay, I'll drink the ghee. So whilst he was drinking the ghee, he got to 1, 2, 3. When he got to 5, his stomach was bursting. And he said, no, stop, stop, I can't take it anymore. So the king's said, okay, if you can't do that, let's try the whiplashes now. So his 50 whiplashes, they got to 1, 2, 3, 5. He said, no, no, too much. The king said, okay, looks like you can't do that either, then 10,000 gold coins, pay up. He said, okay, here's 10,000 gold coins. So process of atonement, I like that. You go for the easiest, but you end up paying everything. You end up paying everything. As this man, he thought, let's have a cheap way out. I'll just drink the ghee. But he ended up, the ghee, the whiplashes, and finally, of course, he ended up paying up all the other aspects as well. In the purport, of course, Prabhupada is very much emphasizing Vrindavan and Mayapur. So I thought I'd just read something about the glories of Vrindavan and Mayapur here. And, of course, of the five potent forms of bhakti, Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavata Shravan Mathura Vas Murti Shradaya Sevaya, living in a holy place is mentioned. And, of course, in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says that all my temples, they are holy places. But, of course, Mayapur and Vrindavan are the original holy places. And Vrindavan as well, of course, Jagannath Puri. It said that within this universe, the most auspicious place is the planet Earth. Why? Because the Supreme Lord appeared here. And on the Earth planet, the most auspicious place is India. Why? Because the Supreme Lord decided to appear in that tract of land. And the most auspicious place within India is Mathura. Why? Because the Supreme Lord took his birth in Mathura. But more auspicious than Mathura is Vrindavan. Why? Because the Supreme Lord performed so many wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan. So more auspicious, more auspicious, and the most auspicious is Govardhan Hill. Why? Because Krishna personally lifted it. And in the area of Govardhan Hill, the most auspicious place is Radhakund. So Prabhupada is very much telling us to retire in these places. It's described that on this earth planet, there are 600 million holy places. 600 million. This is in the Varaha Purana. Don't know where they all are, but there's 600 million of them. And it said that the benefit of going to all these theatres and more is obtained simply by visiting Mathura Mandala. Simply by going to Vrindavan, you visit 600 million holy places. Imagine that. It's also said that simply by circumambulating Mathura, you obtain 100 times the results of circumambulating all the holy places, temples in the world, and the benefits of giving charity and doing all rituals for the well-being of the world. Here's a nice benediction that's given. It also says that if you see a person that has just returned from Vrindavan, you're cleansed of all sins. So watch out for that devotee coming back from Vrindavan. All the sabbatical devotees. Also, in the Brahmanda Purana, it said that all the results of traveling on pilgrimage within the three worlds can be achieved simply by touching the holy land of Vrindavan. Akbar, when he was in Vrindavan, he saw that it was a place of ascetics. So he gave it a new name, Fakirabad, which means a place of ascetics. So that area of Rajamandal he called Fakirabad. And he wanted to give a benediction to all the sadhus there. They, of course, said, we've got everything we need. So the benediction they asked for is that within this area of Rajamandal, no animals or trees should be cut down because they're very auspicious. So he gave that benediction. And still to this day, monkeys, peacocks, trees, it can't be unofficially cut down. I was just looking at Prabhupada in Vrindavan when he took Vanaprastha. And in 1956, he stayed at the Vamsi Gopal temple and he wrote a poem about Vanaprastha because he'd left his family at that time. And he writes, I'm sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. And in this mood, I'm getting so many realizations. I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything. But I have no money. So they are a fruitless glory. Krishna has shown me the naked form of this material nature. By his strength, it has all become tasteless to me today. So at 58, Prabhupada took Vanaprastha. And he moved to Vrindavan. And he dressed in white at Vanaprastha. And daily he would take darshan of Radha Raman, Radha Damodar, and he would sit in front of the samadhi of Gopal Bhatta Goswami as well. In just some things about Mayapur, I thought I'd say something about that. And ending on that note, here's some benedictions of living in Mayapur. All important places are situated in Navadvip Dham. If there is any holy place that is not situated here, it has certainly lost all its piety. Whatever is obtained by spending 100 years in places like Prayag, Ayodhya, Haridwar, Kashi, can be obtained by spending one night in Navadvip Dham. One who walks through Navadvip Dham achieves with every step the merits of 10 million Ashwamedha sacrifices. One never has to take birth again. Simply by eating the food grown in Navadvip Dham, one gets love of Godhead. And whilst one is sleeping, one is paying obeisances rather than oversleeping. So oversleeping, no problem. Overeating, no problem. So Prabhupada mentioned this is a good place to take Vanaprastha and chant the holy name there. We can see from these examples. Of course, today is also the disappearance of Jayadev Goswami. So there are many, many pastimes of Jayadev Goswami, but one pastime was that one time Jayadev, he had come to Jagannath Puri, and that's where he wrote his famous book, Gita Govinda. Gita Govinda is a very highly elevated book for those that are spiritually very advanced. Not an ordinary book. Very intimate pastimes are there. So when he wrote this book, Gita Govinda, the Vaishnav community were very, very happy. And at that time, he married one of the Devi Dasis of Jagannath. One of the girls who would dance for Jagannath and look after Jagannath. every night. Every night when Jagannath takes rest, they play the flute. And whilst he is going to sleep, these Devi Dasis that are trained from birth, very pure, they dance for Jagannath. So he married one of these Devi Dasis. Her name was Padmavati. And at that time, there was the king of Puri, King Purushottam Dev. Many Purushottam Devs are there. So this King Purushottam Dev, he also wrote a commentary on Gita Govinda. And he said that his commentary was better than Jayadev's commentary. So of course, the court pundits and the priests said, no, no, it's not possible. Jayadev's is the best. He said, no, I want you to promote my Gita Govinda. So they started promoting it everywhere in Puri as the best Gita Govinda. And it became a laughing stock. Because anyone that had read Jayadev's Gita Govinda said, not possible. The king's is not at all appropriate. So finally, the decision was left up to Lord Jagannath. Jayadev's commentary on Gita Govinda was left in front of Jagannath. And King Purushottam Dev's commentary on Gita Govinda was left in front of Jagannath. And Jagannath had to decide which was the authentic one. So they closed the doors. And in the morning, when they opened the doors, they saw that the king's commentary was scattered and broken and torn. And it was all on the floor. And Jayadev's commentary on Gita Govinda was attached to the chest Lord Jagannath. And from that day, every night, Lord Jagannath, while the Devi Dasis are dancing, the Gita Govinda is recited to Lord Jagannath. And every night, of course, Lord Chaitanya would also hear Gita Govinda. Jayadev, he appeared 200 years before Lord Chaitanya, of course, in the area of Mayapur. And he lived there for quite a while. And there are many, many pastimes which are there. But looking at the time, I know the brahmacharis all have to go as well. We will speak about them another time. Gaur Premanandi.